points. Chris Dolme with a monumental effort here at Hisense Arena.
Leagues in the world outside the NBA. Hashtag see incredible. Hashtag see incredible.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL News Podcast, episode 2. We just had round 1. I'm joined by Aiden once again.
G'day.
Who would have thought in round 1 that Connor Henry would go viral? There would be double OT. And Josh Giddey would be an absolute gun for the 36ers already. So it's been a very interesting round 1. But Let's get into episode 2 here of the NBL. I should say the Overdribbled Podcast. What do you think of that for a new name?
Overdribbled Podcast. Well, it's up to the viewers. If we want to do that, we can change it to the Overdribbled Podcast.
More interesting than the NBL News Podcast, I'll tell you that. Anyway, let's start off with the news during the past week. Tom Jervis signing with Perth. I think it was a last minute plan, really. They're waiting for that concessionship the whole off season. Didn't come. They had to get Tommy Jervis out of retirement.
They could have signed John Munoz and Nextart, and that would have been done.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking throughout the whole off season as well. You know, they had a very similar kind of way with Justini and Jessup. They both finished 4 years of college. John Mooney could have been drafted, probably not as likely as Jessup. But I don't know. If he would have been a next star, if they assigned him as a next star earlier on, Perth would have got an import, probably Miles Plumlee, and they wouldn't have had to get Tommy Jervis out of retirement and hope he is fit, ready for the season. But if Cotton, Aiden, gets citizenship during the season, would Tom Jervis retire once again or get sacked to make way for an import? Would they do that?
He'll retire. There's no way that Perth will want him sacked. He's probably a legend of the club. They won't want to sack him. So I reckon he'll retire or just be in the wings in case someone gets injured. Or they could get rid of Jared Bairstow and might replace Bairstow with him. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Because they'll still make finals. Like, they can have whatever players they want at Perth and they'll still make finals. But I think they still need another import. If they add Plumlee to that group, they are definitely championship contenders once again, I've got to say.
I'm just concerned with Bairstow and Jervis. I don't know how that's going to work with them, but...
Mooney's got to have to play a lot of minutes. They've got to have to really rely on him at the big. I mean, when you're starting a DP first round, likely to start Luke Travis in the second round. You know, it's not all that good. Well, I mean, Travis is an absolute gun, I'll tell you that much. But
don't forget, we're just practice matches. We don't know what...
You know, yeah, we don't know if they will, but it looks likely that they might actually start Travis at power forward, which could be the first time a DP starts in a first game for them. So, interesting situation they got, but luckily enough, they got Tom Jervis, who knows the system, and hopefully he's good enough for
knows them. Most of the players. Well, knows some of the players are in the league, but not play with them.
Yeah. Interesting enough, he would have been, this season, he would have been on his second year with the Cairns Taipans because he originally signed a contract with them last off-season before. He signed a two-year deal. So this would be his second year with Cairns right now, but he retired, obviously, but he's back at it. So
he would be better for Perth anyway.
Yeah. Now, let's move on to Mike Carina. Signing as an injury replacement for Phoenix. good replacement for Pino. You reckon he was a good choice over Dave Anderson?
Well, Dave Anderson would have been perfect as a veteran leadership, but I haven't seen enough of Carina to know what he's like. But if he's just there to play some minutes, because Yanni and Benmore did well on the weekend with their rotation, then I don't think Carina got on, but...
Yeah, be interesting to see how long he's out for. You know, they say they'll reevaluate him. I'm pretty sure
it's a back injury too.
Yeah, for the NBL Cup, they'll look to bring him back. But Mike Karina, I haven't seen enough. He hasn't played in the NBL before, obviously, but he's played his whole career basically in the New Zealand NBL. He's always been a solid player. So I doubt he'd get many minutes. But in that double OT, when Ben Moore was fouled out early and Yanni was almost fouled out, he was playing the rest of the game. You know, that's where they needed Pinu. So,
yeah. Well, I know Jai Flavel had to do something with his signing, Kiri to Kiri, but
yeah, four Kiwis now on their team, which is
kind of five if you count their assistant coach.
Yeah, if you count their coach as well, they're New Zealand Phoenix pretty much. They got a lot of Kiwi players, but I think he'll do the job. I don't think he'll get many minutes.
He'll do his role. He'll come in exactly. And do his role, and that's what this is. Sonny is, but. Yeah, I don't know much about him. Like, I know he's solid, like, tall and big, but don't know about his output.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how he goes, but I don't think he'll get that many minutes.
Yeah.
Let's move on to a bit of a summary of each game during round one, shall we? And we'll try and share our own personal thoughts of the game. We're no experts, we know that, but we're just going to share our own personal thoughts on the game, what we thought was good, what we thought was bad from each team, pretty much. First game on Friday night, Adelaide, Melbourne. You watched most of it?
I watched the second half. I didn't watch the first half, unfortunately. I was out coaching, but I reckon the imports for Adelaide needed to perform, and we didn't see much of them during that game.
Yeah, I mean, the only player in double digits in scoring, 4-36, was DJ, who's a beast offensively. 29 points.
Great veteran.
Yeah, he's single-handedly, I wouldn't say single-handedly, I mean, Josh Giddey had a good game for them as well, but DJ was the only guy that was putting the ball in the basket, and when Sloan shoots 14% from the field, three turnovers, has a positive minus of minus 29, and Crocker 20% from field goal, and five turnovers. You know, I know it's the first game, and their imports, they've had the quarantine and everything, but in those type of games against likely the top side in the league this season, they got to step up, and, you know, 14%, 20%, five turnovers, three turnovers, it's just not good enough.
And you got to play four quarters of Boswell. They were doing well for the first half, but they just fell away in the second half.
Yeah, exactly. And also proves how good United are. I mean, Hobson was definitely not their top player. I wouldn't even say he was in there.
Well, Hobson and Lando were kind of quiet. Joe Lewis-Chill never passed the ball, as Pauline John Murray commented.
He still was a gun. Joe Lewis-Chill, 60 points, 12 boards.
You know, Bubba was impressive.
I mean, their team has a lot of depth. Was
impressive. They didn't need to rely on their starting five, to be honest. Shea Ewing,
I mean,
was good.
Yeah, they go deep. Their bench, like, they got bench players that could start in the league. Barlow, you know, Bubba, Lewis-Chill could start. Even Shea Ewing is a... You know, he started for the Tall Blacks a couple of times, so he's...
Well, you need Tall Black Shea Ely form to do
it. Yeah, Tall Black Shea Ely form. He showed it on that night, 13 points, 3 assists, but they're deep. I mean, Hobson only needed to score 4 points, and they still won by 24, was it? Yeah.
Yep.
So, it just shows how deep Melbourne United are. But Landau,
well,
big statement.
It's Sam McDaniel come in the play, but yeah.
Jock Landau, though, he said that the Melbourne United will go undefeated this year. Do you agree on that statement, Aiden?
He should not have said that, though. He's gone too early. Once you put a statement like that, you're bound to get cursed.
Yeah, hopefully there's not too many injuries to them, because they're going to be a very exciting team to watch. But if there is injuries, they got players to back up.
Well, there's always injuries, though. There's not, like, Dave Barlow is probably carrying something as a veteran would be carrying an injury. I reckon, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, if McCarron had an injury out for a while, they got Shaley to back him up. You know,
that's a good thing about the point guard spot. You've got Ely to come back up. But
yeah, both very defensive guards. I mean, whoever's playing point guard against Melbourne.
The four spot's the only worry. If Bala gets injured, like, bad.
I'm not worried about that four spot for Melbourne, honestly. I mean, they got Mason Peatling as a DP. He could come in, and he scored over 50 points in D1 game last year.
But you're relying on two young players, Jack White and Mason Pelton, in their first pro year. That's the only downfall.
But Jack White, how good was Jack White though? He was everywhere. Well, he started. The last three offensive rebounds. It's pretty good for
the captain of Duke.
He's got to be a really good player. All right, let's move on to the next game. The Bullets versus the Hawks. Do you watch any of that game?
I watched the first half and then I went off again. But Vic Law early in Orlando had the consistency, but then when I saw the block score at the end of the game, they disappeared in that second half, apparently. So they need to be consistent.
Yeah. Orlando Johnson only 10 minutes. Must have been carrying an injury or maybe not ready to get those minutes yet. I don't know, but Vic Law's good. He needs to be a consistent player for the Bullets to be able to make the finals. He needs to be putting in a double-double each night and working hard on the glass for them to be able to make finals, because there's, you know, they got Frawling, Sobey, Kadee.
Frawling were good.
Yeah. I mean they're an average team. I mean, there's not much else to say, but then
they're bottom tier team in my opinion.
Yeah. They I don't know, we need to see more of Orlando Johnson, need to wait what he can do. But you know, it's hard to comment on their performance.
I've used that excuse for every import we've seen this so far. They've just got out of quarantine, they're just trying to get you.
Yeah. Should we be making excuses for them?
Well, if new players in the league, I reckon yes. The players like Cam Oliver, which we will get into later.
Kasper Ware and that. Yeah, we'll get into that later. But the Hawks.
I'll get the new players. You know, the new players that don't know like the showing conditions as well.
So what about Justin Simon? We should be hyping him up a lot because he had a big week for the Hawks. I mean, the first game, 5 steals. Forced Sobey to 5 turnovers, demonstrates that he is clearly one of the best defensive players in the league.
But he's not just good at defensive line, he's good at offensive line. He's the best. I reckon he's one of the best two-way players I've seen in the league. And I haven't seen many, but
he's
doing well.
A lot of people were unsure of his offensive work in those practice games against Perth and even Sydney. They're unsure of what he could provide on the offensive end of the floor, but 13 points in that first game. I mean, he shot pretty efficiently, 71%. So,
well, I did tell you, you know, he's a good defender. I told you he's one defensive player of the year.
I said it too. I think he's going to be defensive player of the year. He had, I think it was 8 steals against Cotton in that practice game, and he's done it again. 5 steals, 4 sober to 5 turnovers. He's got to be the new DJ Newball of the league. I think he's better than DJ Newball. I don't know if that's a big comment or not.
That's an early call. Take.
But that's Justin Simon book. Is already a better player than DJ Newball. Maybe that's not offensively, not so much as offensively, obviously. DJ Newball has the ability to drop over 25. But defensively, I think obviously Justin Simon is a better player.
That's your hot take for the week.
That is my hot take for the week. Now you got to hit me back with another one further down.
I will later. I've got my hot take coming up. You will be surprised. Well, I don't think you'll be surprised, but it's coming.
Next game. Oh,
what do you call it? Tyler Harvey did well as well. He can shoot the free. We can see that. And he'll shoot better free than John.
I like the lefty. He's an absolute jet from the 3-point line. I mean,
Evan, don't forget they can't see you if you're trying to do your lefties. Yeah.
But he's got a beautiful stroke. I mean, he might lead the league in scoring. Maybe. I don't know. Lots of people have thrown that out the gate, but we'll see how it goes.
Nah did well.
Nah was a really good player off the bench. Yeah.
Didn't he start?
Nah, he was off the bench. 17-5.
Oh, no, they don't have Sutton in on that right now. Nah, they don't want to play football. Dingadale played that game. It was the other game he didn't play.
Yeah. Well, Dingadale, he was injured in that first quarter, I think. Yeah. But hopefully he's back all right, because
welcome back, Brian Gorshin.
Yeah, we'll get into that in the second game. All right, Cairns, Sydney, the later game on that Saturday night. I think it was an under-the-radar effort from Cam Oliver. Not many people were talking about his game against the Kings. He had 12 points, 11 boards, and 6 blocks. No one's mentioned he had 6 blocks against the Kings.
I think it's the fouls that hurt him. That's probably why they didn't mention him as much.
Yeah, I mean, he only played 24 minutes, just over half the game. He had 4 personal fouls, but 6 blocks in that amount of time. I mean,
yeah.
If he had more minutes, he could have got a triple-double in blocks, maybe. So he's proved that he's still got it from last season. But one guy that needs to step up for Cairns, I know he's a young guy, he's a rookie, but Mojave King, 7 points. I don't know if he needs more game time or anything, but he played pretty well in the practice games. I think he needs to step up a bit more for the Taipans. Now that they don't have DJ Newble, you know, Jerich and King and that shooting guard position, they really need to step up. And I haven't seen that from King. Jerich had a pretty good game, 15 points, but
they need their bench players to step up. Jawai was the only one that I would pass on the bench that did well.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't relying on their bench last season because they had Newble. They had their 3 imports and that they relied on their starting 5 a lot. But without Newble, Jordan Naitai needs to play better. Krizlovic, they need their bench to step up more.
Yeah,
especially when Giddy is dominating for the 36ers. King needs to show that he's just as good as him because I got him as Rookie of the Year. And I'm going to look like a fool if he keeps playing like this and Giddy keeps playing like he is.
Well, we need to see King's form that he had in the preseason. Or else, it's kind of... He won't be in the top 10. He'll be another RJ Hampton by the looks of things so far.
Yeah, maybe a second round at the moment, but still, first round, got to let it go. He's young. But Casper Ware, shooting 1 of 9 from 3, missed the game winner.
What happened to Casper Ware? That's my question. What happened to him? He's still carrying that form that he did in the finals. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there was a stat that came out. He shot, I don't know what it is, but it's really poor the last 3 games, including the grand final series. He's shot probably under 30%, maybe even under 20% in all those games combined. So he hasn't been shooting well recently. But did you see the end of the game? At all, the last few seconds.
Yeah, I did. I saw that.
That foul. Yeah. There was a big, big foul call at the end of the game.
Good call, though. It was a good call.
You reckon it was the right call?
Right. I reckon it's the right call. Looking at I paused each frame last night, making sure I knew what was called.
Yeah, because he was in that shooting motion, but he knew there was a foul. It was a foul, and then, there was a foul, didn't get called, kind of. And then
I might be
another foul. And then he knew that the foul was coming, so he just shot it. It wasn't a smart shot. You wouldn't take that if he wouldn't have gotten fouled. But
it's when the foul's called, not when the whistle blows. That's what.
Yeah, it's different to the NBA. Different to the NBA. I think it's when the arm goes up. That's when they say it's a shooting foul. But it's a big call to make. I mean, they still got another opportunity, the Kings, to win the game, and they went with a 3. They could have gone with a 2. It's a 1-point game. I don't know why they need to force the 3 with Casper Ware when he's already shooting 1 of 8 from there.
Should have given it to DJ.
Yeah, should have given it to Dejan Vasiljevic or even Jarrell Martin in the post. All they needed was a 2. They didn't need to force up a 3, and especially Casper Ware. We know how clutch Casper Ware has been in the past, but when you're shooting 1 of 8, do you trust it? Nah.
Jordan Hunter look good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they fit Daniel Kickett back into that team after that performance from Hunter. I mean, he started for them, but you'd think later on Martin might start over him.
Well, I don't think he might just be the backup power forward because we didn't see much of Vodanovic, but who knows?
Yeah, they'll probably run a 10-man rotation throughout the year once Kickett comes back. But Cooks comes back sooner than later, I don't know, maybe around just before the season ends. No clue what's going to happen. But if he comes back, then they might have to play an 11-man rotation because of how good Hunter was, 9.7 boards.
Well, they can't play an 11-man rotation because Vodanovic would be gone.
Yeah, as well. But, you bring Kickett in, that's 11. Yeah. So, interesting to see what Adam Forday does with his rotations this season because he's got a lot of players that can play.
Did he even try it, to be honest with you? He wasn't
Yeah, 20%, 2 of 10 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3. It didn't look like they shot very well from beyond the arc, the Kings, that game. But as I said, it's first round. They'll get over it. I'll still predict them to make finals.
They've all haven't played a game in like months, from like Nick Lloyd or the inputs. So I'm going to give them more. Russ, first game, Russ. That's the excuse for the.
All right, next game. Ready to move on to the next game.
Yeah, my hot talk's going to be in this. Yanni Wetzel could be a rookie of the year.
Yanni Wetzel, rookie of the year, is your hot take. All right. 36 is Phoenix. Tell me why Yanni Wetzel is rookie of the year for you.
Double-double in his first game, starting as well. Look at the minutes he's getting. He's explosive. He can move up and back the court. Shoots a half court, you know, buzzer.
Yeah, 24 and 11. I mean, he's a solid player. Good for my fantasy team. We'll get into that later. He was good. He got 35 minutes. I don't think he'll normally get that much time during the season, considering Ben Moore was fouled out. Dane Pinu wasn't playing.
If he keeps his form up, suddenly he doesn't have a choice.
I don't think it's a bad call. You put him Rookie of the Year. I mean, he's very capable.
Well, I still have Jesse, but Yanni's a dark horse. If he does well.
I got to say, there's so many Rookie of the Year candidates this year. You've got Wetzel, Giddy, Jessup, Mojave King, Jack White, even you can find it. Dejan Vasiljevic, just so many.
I don't know if you know Bubba. I don't know yet. I haven't.
No, Bubba doesn't count. He played G League. But there's so many rookies this year that are capable of winning Rookie of the Year. It's got to be a very tight race come the end of the season. But again, Adelaide 36ers, DJ, a beast, 33 points. I mean, he's a legend for the 36ers. They might as well retire his jersey now. I mean, he's that good. But he's – how do you have played had he not been fouled out in that fourth quarter, the Heat, I reckon the 36ers would have won without going to OT.
Who knows? It could have been anything.
Yeah, but he's – what else can you say about DJ? Very underrated player. He's done it for years now. You expect it from him, but 33 points is unreal performance.
That's all I'm saying. I wish I had put him in my first team, but that's all right.
Let's move on to Josh Giddey. I got to say, after the first two games, he is 100% going to be a first-round pick. Do you agree with that?
He'll develop, but unfortunately, he's not playing today, which is today's meeting Wednesday against the Southeast.
Yeah,
but
yeah, tonight against Phoenix again.
He can play both ways as well. He's good up and back. That dunk that when he landed, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. He bounced back up, played the rest of the game, and really helped the Sixers get over the line. I would have thought he could play tonight, but
it makes no sense that they didn't play then, but I don't know, it could be just a like concussion, who knows?
Yeah, maybe, but I mean he was unbelievable. 60 points, 11 boards. I gotta ask, can Giddey record a triple double this season?
Well, his dad thinks that, I reckon. Speaking of his dad recently, his dad knows that he's got the capability. I reckon he does. He's got that.
Do you think he gets one? Do you think he gets multiple?
I reckon two. Two to minimum, five to max.
Two minimum. I mean, he's got a lot of comparisons to LaMelo Ball, 6'7" point guard.
He's got that ball vision like LaMelo Ball. He's got
good ball vision.
IQ that he's got, it's just amazing.
But I think Giddy's more defensive. If Giddey had the 5 million followers, he would be top 10 already. All the scouting people at ESPN and etc. would be putting in top 10 by now. But Humphries was another big player that stepped up in double OT. 14 points, 12 boards. He was apparently on restricted minutes still.
He and Pinder both looked good.
Yeah, I mean, 37 minutes for him to play that long, considering he missed a few trainings in the past couple of weeks due to injury. 14 points, 12 boards. They paid him the big bucks for a reason, and he really helped the 36ers get over the line.
Well, Tease and McVay stepped up on both games, in my opinion. They've just done what they needed to do. Veteran role, just keep going. I don't know. I haven't checked if Dylan played, but Tease and McVay did.
Really he only well. Played 5 minutes, but he did. I mean, Tease was came on and 8 points in OT. Phoenix, I thought everyone played pretty well for them. I mean, foul trouble for Moore didn't help them. But Glidden shooting 3 of 13 from 3. You know, he got those chances.
He was putting up the shots. That's he had good open shots. He just didn't fall.
Yeah, he finally got the opportunity, which he didn't get at the Bullets, to just unload a three ball. But he just wasn't making them. I'll let it go. It's the first game. I know I probably shouldn't let it go because it's the first game. But 3 of 13. Need to be able to knock those downs if Phoenix got to get over the line. But one main question that I had for this game was Kendall Stevens. 0 minutes, 0 seconds.
I saw him on the bench. I was trying to look for him on the bench, but he was on that bench. And so was Madronja. They both didn't play minutes, and they were both on the bench.
Well, I don't think Madronja is got to be in the rotation, but I would have thought Stevens would be needed in that game. I mean, they ran with 8 players in double OT. I would have thought they needed him down a stretch, knock down a couple of threes, but I don't know, nothing came out that he was injured or anything. So it's quite odd that he didn't get a single
moment.
Second.
It's a dangerous moment here, Evan. It's another dangerous moment at Southeast.
Yeah, but I just think that's interesting. I need to find out an answer to why Stevens didn't get game time, because I thought Phoenix really wanted him down the stretch, would have needed him down the stretch. But
well, I thought he would have played like at least 5 minutes, but they didn't.
I mean, even just step foot in the court to chuck a three in. We need it, but I don't know what's going on there. If he's injured, then it's understandable. But if he's not injured, it's a bit odd, because I would have thought he would be in that rotation. Next game.
Maybe it's his leg still. I don't know. He could just be tight and then it's dealing with a collision injury.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Tight pants Hawks. I mean, I've got to say it was a huge upset for the Hawks, all right? Because they didn't have Dengadel, Best, our two Aussies that have played in the NBA before, and they're two best Aussies. And they won considerably against a team that made finals last year in Cairns, in their home stadium.
Well, the snag pit, Neil.
Snag pit. Yeah. Well, Goat Gorgian. I'm going to call him Goat Gorgian, the greatest coach in NBL history. He's still proved that he is the greatest coach in NBL history. I mean, he overcame the coach of the year from last season, Mike Kelly, and was able to...
If this is full well, he'll be a great for the Olympics. That's what I'm saying. If this goes in for Look Out Show 2021, that's all I'm saying.
I mean, the import trio, Simon, true. Unbelievable defensively, oh. Jessup and Harvey can, you know, 24 and 25 for them.
Jessup stepped up that game, I can tell you that. He stepped up this game and did well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to... If Hawks start becoming a really tough team to beat, there's got to be excuses from opposition fans saying Jessup Shukan's an import. He's played 4 years at college and et cetera, blah, blah, blah. People have got to carry on about that. Their trio was unreal. Simon again, 10 points, 12 boards for a guard like him. He had the most boards in the game. I'm pretty sure no, Cam Oliver did have more. But he had the most boards for the Hawks.
Put on like a can of last year.
Yeah, and 4 blocks as well for Simon. I mean, he's not only can he steal the ball, he can block. He's unreal defensive player. He's had
three, I think. He's not that tall. He's blocking
6'5", I'm pretty sure. So I mean,
he
can come up in big scenarios. That block at the end of the third quarter really came to help them win that game later on. Yeah, but okay. As again, we didn't talk about how good the bench was for the Taipans. I'll mention it again. 4 bench points. 4 total bench points for Cairns Taipans. It's not healthy for their team at all. I mean, as I said, their bench needs to put in more work after those two games. Majave King, 0 points this game. Jared Kenny, I know he's not a scorer, but 0 points in 15 minutes. Drew Nantai, 2 points. Krizlovic, 2 points in 13 minutes. I mean, when you have a total of 4 bench points, they really need to step up for Taipan to be able to succeed again this year.
Exactly.
So I'm just worried about their bench. But let's move on to our fantasy teams. We'll finish off here with our fantasy teams. So for round two, round three, Adelaide's playing twice again. Cairns playing twice again. Phoenix playing twice again. What changes have you made?
I've made two changes, obviously, because you're doing two trades. I've traded. Who did I trade? I traded Adil and Giddy for Sykes and Noy.
Yeah, I've just gone with the one trade. I don't know whether to trade Giddy or not. Still work in progress at the moment. But
I think the fact that he's playing one game this week, I'm trading him.
Yeah. But I've definitely traded Dingadel for Keith Sykes. So my starting five this week is going to be Machado. I still have faith in Sloan now that Giddy's going to be injured that first game. I hope he has a big game.
I hope he steps up.
I still have faith in Mojave King. I'm starting him. Yanni Wetzel is a definite starter. 76 points last week for him. Cam Oliver. And my captain is Scott Machado.
Nice, nice, nice. I've got Machado at point guard, Mojave King at shooting guard, Courtney small forward, Yanni the big pretzel at power forward, Camel and Keith Sykes as my vice captain, and Scott Machado is my captain as well.
How many points do you have?
I got 633, I think, from memory. I'm looking at my team now.
I just beat you 641. It's mediocre. It's average.
Wait a minute. I can't count. I think I'm higher than you now. I let me wait. Whoa. 142. What? Does it scale? I don't know. I don't know what I got. This is why I'm new to fantasy, everyone. So this is what I hate about this defense. I got you. I beat you. 642. I misread it.
Yeah, it's 642.
Yeah.
So you beat me by one.
Yeah. Sorry. I was looking at someone else's team. I don't know why you didn't look at my team.
642, so you beat me by one, but we're no fantasy experts. Dingadel Sloan really let me down.
Who did you have captain?
I had Cam Oliver.
Oh, so we both had Cam Oliver.
I don't know how you got one exact point more than me, but
someone's on our bench that's got one over. Because our starting five is really similar.
It's only the first round. We might as well mention round three as well before we sign off here. I mean, everyone's playing twice except the Hawks and Melbourne. Good to see a game back in Bendigo. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.